Good morning. Appreciate Brother Nick leading us in our songs. It's beautiful songs, are they not? Appreciate all of that participate in the service. We have visitors this morning. We are glad you're here. And we hope and pray you'll come back. If you're traveling, why, stop whenever you can. If you live here, why, we just hope that you will study with us. If you have any questions concerning the Bible, we don't know the answer. We'll just say we don't know it. But if we do know the answer, we'll try to show it to you and help you in any way, and no doubt you could help us. Just looking at the flowers this morning that Terry does, I want to thank her while she's here. Sometimes I thank her, thank you when you're not here, Terry. But she does a good job, doesn't she? She does a good job. That's not as easy as it looks. And I guarantee you, if I did something like that, you'd know the difference, okay? That would really make you appreciate Terry. And everybody does something, something gets done. So we appreciate that very much. And the sign, we don't say much about that. Tom's doing a good job on that. And I appreciate Brother Chuck putting up this. He does these for me and also does the changes them. I know most preachers do that, but I really like it that he changes it. This morning, as you can see, we're going to be studying, Lord willing, about the wisdom of the cross. It was a good, I don't know, maybe 5 weeks ago, we had two lessons on the cross. We talked about the power of the cross, and the first lesson was on the love of the cross. And at one time, probably, it would be a sermon with all those points, but now we just study each subject. What do you mean by the wisdom of the cross? What do you mean by this word wisdom? We use it, don't we? We use that word all the time. Somebody does something, and it seems to be a good way to accomplish it. Matter of fact, it may actually be the best way to do something. We say that person has some wisdom. You think of generals like MacArthur and others. They were very cunning, very wise in what they did. You have to have a good understanding to be wise. And there is no higher understanding than God. This is why we are in the shape that we're in today, because so many people, evidently more and more, do not believe in God. And there may be some in that crowd that would say they believe in God, but they don't believe in God. They don't believe in God. And so what's happening, people do not have the morals that are taught in the Word of God. The Word of God is the standard for morality. The Word of God is the truth. The Word of God is absolute in reference to that truth. And when society does not accept that, well, then everything goes. And that's where we are. It's unimaginable for some of us. Some of you younger people haven't seen quite as much, and some of you older people have seen more. But it's shocking to look out at our nation. But if they would understand, number one, who God is, and then they would understand that when we talk about the wisdom of God in reference to the cross, it's God's plan to redeem mankind. God's plan to save mankind. If you take a philosophy class, or you can just watch it on screen nowadays, they have courses on television, they have shows about the Greeks. Generally, they're the ones that people go back to in order to study philosophy. And they made a very special study of it. They became known for their wisdom, although it changed throughout the years, but they became known for that. Which is kind of interesting when you consider that they were idolaters. You know, they were very intelligent. If you ever read some of their writings in the books and They had historians like Herodotus, and you read their writings. They were very intelligent. Thucydides was a great general. You read his writings. These are very intelligent people. I just have to wonder sometimes if how many of them didn't say anything but concluded that there's no way that that really is a god. I mean, they knew that these so-called gods, that they couldn't walk, they couldn't talk, they couldn't hear, they couldn't see, they couldn't eat. They had to be carried and put in place. They had to be made. That just baffles my mind. I think it's parallel with the evolution today, myself. And I can assure you there is zero evidence for the theory of evolution. What they usually bring forth is just some similarities. Similarities. Of course there are similarities. There's a lot of similarities in animals, right? A lot of similarities. Horses got four legs. Dogs got four legs. You got all kinds of similarities, and you can look at, well, they've got similar organs, similar things, birds, and etc. But it's garbage. It's not science. They try to link it all together. They cannot do it. There's zero evidence for it. If you find a great professor, he wants to talk about this, give him my card. As ignorant as I am, I'd be glad to talk about it. So when you talk about the wisdom of God, does it really accomplish something nothing else could accomplish? Is His plan something that people really needed? But they were never able to figure out how to come to that accomplishment. And the answer is God brought us salvation. It had to come down from heaven. It had to come down from His Son, leaving the glories and the beauties of the heavenly world, and leaving being with the Heavenly Father. He was a divine God, deity. He was God the Son when He was on the earth. Whatever He did, it was to show who the Father was. So the Jewish or the Greeks were not able to do that. You know, you read about their gods, and they did every kind of immoral act that you could think about. It's mind-baffling to think about it. But now God's wisdom was not the wisdom of men. So contrary, and that's why so many of the Greeks and wise people today, I've met quite a few educated people. I've met more humble people, like most everyone we got here this morning. And I feel more comfortable with the humble, but I have been around some of the others, and it just saddens my heart to see someone that, like a professor, so educated, so knowledgeable. I've had professors that could speak for hours, all their classes, every one of them, never had a note. They could quote from Sigmund Freud or Socrates, Aristotle, whatever, and just, it didn't bother them one little bit, just wonderful minds. But he didn't believe in God. Maybe you don't believe in God. That's the starting point. And the gospel of Christ and the word of God brings us to this plan of salvation where you will believe in the one true God. You remember that the Apostle Paul went into Athens. And he stood there at Mars Hill and said unto them that they had all of these false gods. And he said that he saw an altar that was erected to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. And he went on to declare all about the one true God. That's what they needed to hear. And incidentally, out of all the Greek city-states, they had these divided little city-states as a rule. Later on, they tried to be more united, but Athens was really the center. They had all these teachers. They had the universities, colleges like we have, places of learning. They call them academies. And they may learn the Greek in a professional, eloquent way. They may have studied all kinds of subjects, but when it came to the one true God, they were as ignorant as you could be. And so they had to be taught by fishermen. Matthew, man said at the receipt of custom, tax collector. They had to sit at the feet of the ones that Jesus picked to find out about God's wisdom, like Paul. We begin with 1 Corinthians 1 and 18. Oh, I like that big print. You see that back there, Jerry? Now we know we have it tested. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. When you read that, we had a whole lesson on that about 5 or 6 weeks ago, just on verse 18. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved. I'll tell you the word that really, many words out stand out, but for us this morning, in light of being a Christian, don't you like that word, us? Paul said, unto us. He's writing to these Christians in Corinth, called saints. Saints means that they were separated from this whole sinful and wicked world, sanctified and cleansed by the Lord. So he's writing them, unto us which are saved. You're either saved this morning or you're not saved. You have to be real honest about it, because a man or a woman, I say a man, that's generic, a man can say that he's saved and not be saved. A lot of people think they're saved, but they're not saved. We have people in the Bible that thought they were saved, they were not saved. How are you going to know that you're saved? You'll have to come to God's plan. You have to believe it, trust it, and obey the Lord. So, preaching of the cross is to them that perish. Perish means they would be lost. They would be lost. You have to accept God's wisdom. You don't have the wisdom. I don't have the wisdom. All the people in the world, if they had some kind of world congress, and they all got together and they decided, we're going to come up with some way to give a man a good conscience. We're going to come up with some way that he can really have the peace that passes all understanding. And all of his sins and everything he's ever done that's wrong, he's going to have all of those wiped away and remembered no more. They can't do it. You can't do it either. That's God's grace. The plan is God's grace. The Son is God's grace. He is the one that actually accomplished the plan. He says in that verse 20, where is a wise? Where is a scribe? Where is a disputer of this world? Now this is found throughout the Bible. In the ideal of the word, who is the wise? Or where is the wise? Where is really the wise person that can tell you these things that we've talked about? How to be saved? How about having eternal life? Which of the doctrines that the Greeks had would give you eternal life? And what would the Greeks tell you about how to obtain eternal life? They didn't know. How about the scribe? The scribe is known as a person who is very intelligent, a person the Jewish scribes would copy the law, but there were other scribes in this list right here. But there were other scribes, but they always individuals had a lot of knowledge. Had a lot of knowledge. So where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? I understand that is there's certain people that like to dispute. They learn these particular doctrines. They get up and they dispute on behalf of their doctrine. But none of them could ever win against God's wisdom. They can't win today. They can't win today. We would be glad to talk with people privately or publicly about these things, but the devil would rather you didn't do that. He'd rather not have a discussion, especially public. In that first verse, when he talks about, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, that in essence is in Isaiah 29 and 14, so God foretold this. I'm kind of amazed at times there's some writers will say when they read about a statement like that, that wasn't really a prophecy. He just kind of drew off on that and used words like we do. About 99.99%, I don't believe that. I believe that was talking about that. That God, because he didn't do it before, God did not destroy the wisdom of the wise until he gave the gospel plan to save mankind. God hath made foolish the wisdom of this word. You know, if you look up this word, you know what it says about this word foolish? stupid. Stupid. There's no wisdom there. And the word foolishness, it's related to the word moron. It really is. It's related. It has that word in it. So someone with absolutely no wisdom, no judgment, no matter how intelligent a person might be, it's foolishness. In verse 21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So God gave plenty of time for men to do their little experiments about wisdom. The Greeks were kind of the height of it. I'm certain the Egyptians and others had things, but they're not really known that much for their wisdom. But man had about 4,000 years to the time of Christ, if you go by the Bible. And I go by the time that's in the Bible as well. I don't think it's wrong. In my judgment, these scientists that come out and they think they can tell you the age of everything. The strange thing about it, you know, science has reference to that which is actually true. If it's not actually true, it's not really science. And I don't know how it keeps changing all the time. Have you noticed that? They say it's science, but it keeps changing all the time. So, the world by wisdom didn't know God. It did not know God. It didn't know the true God. It could not come to the knowledge of the true God. The Jews did. The Jews had the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament. They came to a knowledge of the true God, but they still had to learn about salvation in the Christ, the Son of God. He says the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. That's something to me is rather remarkable about the Jews requiring a sign. They wanted Jesus to do whatever they asked. They wanted Jesus to do a sign at their beckoning. You don't tell God that you're going to do this or that. Show me this kind of thing or that. Just give me manna like in the Old Testament. You don't tell God to do that. The strange thing about it, Jesus did all those miracles in front of them. And they could come and see him any time he was speaking just about. I doubt there was a time he didn't do these miracles. The people came to be healed. And when you read about it, and he healed all of them on up to the nighttime. He got on the boat. You know what they did when he got on the ship in Galilee? Evidently, a lot of times they went along this coast. They followed him. They followed Jesus. They walk and run along the side of the bank. They see that ship and they went to wherever Jesus went. Other times they try to find out if he's going to cross it. Sometimes they didn't know. They'd just go to Capernaum because they knew that he was there a lot. So he healed these people. The Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. I understand that to be a statement about the overall plan of God's salvation. Right at the heart of it is Jesus at the cross. And those things that led up to it and those things after it and those things and all of his suffering would be included in that, what the Bible calls the gospel. We preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. A stumbling block is something that you trip over. I would say that pretty much everybody here has tripped over something. Have you not? Maybe this week, some of you tripped over something. Stumbling block. They're offended, stumbled over Jesus. Why was that? Well, I will tell you why. The Bible teaches pretty clearly. It's because in their minds, that wasn't the way that they were going to be saved. And that wasn't the Savior. In their minds, he's going to be a king. Oh, boy, they despise being ruled by Rome and their king, their Christ, the Messiah. He's going to come and he's going to be victorious over the Romans. They're going to rule the world. It wasn't in the Bible. It wasn't in the Word of God. That's error. But to the Greeks, foolishness. So he came down from heaven, right? God's Son, right? God let his Son die on the cross of Calvary. And they spit on him, and they beat him, and they put a crown of thorns on him. Yeah, that's right. You want me to believe that kind of thing? I'm smarter than that. That's the problem. And we still have people that think they're smarter than God. some of the most intelligent people that have ever lived do not study the Bible, do not accept the Creator. If I was talking, and I'm not even smart, but I was talking to somebody today, I just ask them, were these made or not? Look pretty real, don't they? You see the design on those flowers? You know, everything that you see here, you've got living. God made. Everything you see, this is not living. But everything you see here, so this had to be made, but the living ones, they just, the God evolution made them. Every time you read evolution, just put in the Creator and you'll know what you're talking. You'll be able to explain it to somebody. So, to the Greek, it was foolishness. But he says in verse 24, but unto them which are called, you're called by the gospel. It has appeals to your understanding, to your mind. You'll have to be able to reason. You can't reason at all. Like if some people don't have the power to reason, then that's you would not be accountable. There are some people that do not have the power to reason. I'm not talking about those that refuse to reason honestly. But he says, unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So here's God's power. Those that are called, that's us, unto us which are saved. It is the power of God, 1 Corinthians 1:18. In verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Well, God doesn't have any foolishness, but it's what people would look upon as foolishness. Again, that's that word that carries the word in it of moronish.
Really?
Yeah, I'm dead serious. I looked it up. Carries that ideal. Foolishness of God. God doesn't have, but that's the way they looked at the gospel. How do you look at it? You know, you can come and hear these sermons. Brother Tom referred to it this morning, and you know, we're talking about how foolish it is not to believe in God, how the Greeks rejected it, and the Jews with their mindset rejected it. We talk about the educated many times reject it, but not always. One of the greatest and brightest of all people, and best of all people, have believed in God. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. That's just a figure of speech. It's what people consider to be weak. But if you add anything there, he can accomplish so much more than men. God can accomplish all that he wants in harmony with who he is. He will not contradict himself. So he says in verse 26, for you see you're calling brethren. There it is, brethren. You know, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me ask you this morning. Are you a brother or a sister in Christ? Are you with the brethren? The family of God. Are you in God's family? You either are or you're not. I hope that you will be. We pray that you will be. If you study the Bible and are honest, you will be. You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. That word noble means to be well born. And all I can tell you is from studying about it, it's sort of like this is kind of a person that's maybe a little bit more important in the eyes of the world and society. Maybe has a little more education, maybe has a little more intelligence than most people, kind of well born. Sort of aristocratic type person. He said, you know, you're not that many here. He says, not many wise men after the flesh, in a worldly, fleshly way, and in a mighty men. And there's not too many. They trust in their own strength. And not many noble are called, but some are. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So men have their plans. Men decide they want to go in a certain direction, but God, he doesn't teach that. God teaches the wise way, the only way. to be saved. And he confounds them, and their wisdom becomes actually a disgrace. So which one are you following? God or the world? Base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which not, to bring to naught, if you read it, it's a little confounding, brings to nothing things that are. So God can accomplish things, and things are despised, but God can use that. Matter of fact, they might not even see it and think that it could exist, but God can do that and bring it and cause something to come about. Can he not? God is not limited except by his own character. He is a great God. And then he says in verse 29 that no flesh should glory in his presence. So we do not sit back and say, oh, I'm really wise. I'm a brilliant person. I'm a great scholar. And he says, no, we don't glory in the flesh. Man can't come along and say, save this way, save that way. It's not in the Word of God. That's glorying in the flesh. So we have no right to glory in the flesh. What do we got to glory about? We're going to die. We're going to be, most of us are going to be put in the ground. Maybe do it some other way. But we're going to go back to the dust one way or another. No flesh should glory in his presence. But of him, that is, of God. Here's God's grace. Are ye in Christ Jesus? Are you in Christ Jesus? You need to be in Christ Jesus. You need to be baptized into Christ, put on Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and 27. To be in Christ Jesus is to be saved. If you're outside of Christ, you're not saved. If you think that's otherwise, talk to me about it. I'd like to hear what you have to say. But to be in Christ, who of God, God's grace, is responsible for this, God's mercy and love, is made unto us. So here's what Christ is to us. Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. If you don't have Christ, you don't have that. You don't have that wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You don't have that. I wouldn't have it. We look to Jesus. He's God's wisdom. His death on that cross. When, Peter says, when he reviled not again. That's God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. When he says, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That's in Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. I'll read it to you. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. That's what you want to glory in, something that you know the Lord, that you know the true God and his Son. His Son's called the true God. That I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. In Colossians 2 and verse 3 it says, and Colossians deals a lot with false philosophy. He says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's what we have, brethren. That's what we have in Christ. Don't you like wisdom and knowledge? Don't you like to know and have wisdom? It's all rest with Christ. There are a lot of subjects out there that people can study. I don't care who you are and what you become. Maybe you'll become a doctor. I admire good doctors especially, don't you? Maybe you'll become a policeman. Maybe you're in the military. I admire those that are willing to sacrifice for us, and we want to thank every one of them on Tuesday and maybe before, whenever we see them, for their service. But most of all, We are grateful to God. And His wisdom and His riches are in His Son. That's why we encourage you to come to services, read the Bible, study the Bible, know more about God, more about Jesus. Wednesday night, we're studying the book of John. We'll let you come. We'll let you come. We're in chapter 6 about the bread of life. And then in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, and that whole chapter really deals with the cross. It doesn't mention the cross, but it deals with God's plan to save man. And you can have bread, but you don't have to pay money. That's that bread we were talking about. Salvation. Come to the Lord. And He says in that chapter, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The scheme of redemption was in the mind of God always. The Bible teaches it because God is eternal, and God doesn't have to come up with something. God always knows. And in 1 Corinthians 2, the next chapter in verse 7, Paul says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory." This wisdom of the cross was hidden. It was kept a secret. God did that. Aren't you glad that it's not a secret? Aren't you glad that we can come to the cross, that we can come to Jesus, and we can be sanctified and washed and cleansed by His blood, and all of your sins removed? The cross was in the mind of God, the everlasting God, before the foundation of the world. Revelation 13:8. Listen to this. "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life." You don't worship anybody else but God. So that's got to be talking about somebody else you worship. All you got to do is look out a little bit and you can figure that one out. Somebody claims to be God down here. You can figure that one out. And then he says, "whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb." Is your name in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world? In God's mind, the Son of God was slain. When He was creating the whole world, and He spake and it was done, and He commanded and it stood fast, it was as if Jesus had already died for our sins. It was in God's mind, God's plan, before He even created the world. Do you believe in that God? Do you believe in the true God? Do you believe His Word? In Acts chapter 2, the apostles were filled with the Spirit. They went through the Scriptures on the resurrection of Christ, especially from the book of Psalms, in reference to David. His body would not see corruption. David's body did see corruption, but not Jesus. He was raised from the grave on that third day. If you're not a Christian, on that day when they preached this first gospel sermon, and the Bible teaches they were filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. You're talking about listening to the truth, are you not? They said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. Promises unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Many other words they testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourself, this untoward generation." Well, wait a minute. How can you save yourself? By coming to the Savior. You can't save yourself by yourself. You can save yourself by obeying Jesus Christ. If you're ready to do that, by the waters back here, I'm pretty certain you're very acceptable. But if hot or cold, doesn't matter. If you're ready to be baptized into Christ, do it today. Are you outside of Christ? You can't be cleansed by the blood. You're just out there living in the world. You've got to come to Jesus. If you're an erring child of God, come home. as we stand and as we sing.